Hello, my name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. We find ourselves at the very, very bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. That's 31a. We just have three words left on that Amud, and then we'll continue on Lamed Aleph, Amud Bet. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. What we've been discussing is Torah readings and Haftarah readings, that's readings from the Nevi'im, the prophets, on various of the holidays around the Jewish calendar. We've covered almost all of them. What we have left is Tisha B'Av we're talking about. Amar Rav Huna, and the Hagos HaBach says that it should be Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. We flipped the page. Rosh Chodesh Av, if the month of Av, Shechal Yom Shabbat, falls out on Shabbat, so instead of doing the regular Torah reading, or, as we said in our previous recording, the reading for the Rosh Chodesh, usually you would do a Haftarah for the Rosh Chodesh, Maftirin, instead the Haftarah is Chodshichem Umoadichem Sana Nafshi, your new months and your festivals, I hate them. Hayu alai l'torach, they create for me an annoyance. So Hashem is saying to the Jewish people, this is from the first chapter of Isaiah, of Yeshayahu, your attempts to be religious irritate me. God is telling people if they are unjust and they are wicked, that just because they come to shul and daven very hard and offer lots of sacrifices, those things are hateful to Hashem. My hayu alai l'torach, what does it mean that they are to me for a burden? Torah is like a burden. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, says, Lo dayan lahem li Yisrael shechotin lefanai. It's not enough for the Jews that they are sinning before me. In other words, they're not following my rules of justice and morality and religiosity. Ela shematrichin oti, they are causing me the difficulty, leda ezo gzera kasha avi lahem, which harsh decree I will have to bring on them. Now, it's not so much that Hashem doesn't like to make those decisions, but the idea here is that having to punish his children is painful to Hashem. And so he says, not only are they not following my instructions, which is painful to me, that they're not doing what's best for them, but now they're forcing me to be in a situation where I have to punish them as well. Now, Tosfot points out, interestingly, that this is not our custom. We do not read the first chapter of Yeshayahu when Rosh Chodesh Av falls out on Shabbat, and that's because we have a much more wide-ranging custom, which is what we still do today. What we do is, for the 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av, we have three special Haftorahs, which are called the Shlosha Depuranuta, the three holidays of suffering. And those three Haftorahs are the first chapter of Yirmiyahu, the second chapter of Yirmiyahu, and the third chapter, and the first chapter of Yirmiyahu, the second chapter of Yirmiyahu, and the first chapter of Yeshayahu. Those are, each of those are very harif, very strong warning chapters against the Jewish people for the sins that they commit. And so this concept of the 3 weeks that we have between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, part of that comes from here, that we have these three special haftarot. Instead of reading regular haftorahs related to the Parsha, during these 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av, we read special warning haftorahs. Following those three warning, so what ends up happening is that the chapter of Yeshayahu that it mentions here is sometimes read by Rosh Chodesh Av, but it's usually read... It's read the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, so that usually happens after Rosh Chodesh Av, not on Rosh Chodesh Av. And then following the three Depuranuta, the three Haftorahs of suffering, we have Shiva D'Nechemta. We have 7 weeks of Haftorahs that are Haftorahs of comfort, followed by Tarte Dityufta, the two of repentance, which happened from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. So basically, from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz until Yom Kippur, we have a series of 12 Haftorahs, which follow the process of warning the Jewish people about the punishment that will befall them. Then that's three, and then 7, consoling them for the terrible things that have happened to them, and then 2 for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that are haftorahs of repentance and of Hashem giving atonement to the Jewish people for the sins that they committed. Okay, so we continue on 2, 4, 6 lines down from the top. B'Tisha B'Av Gufei Mai Maftarinan. What is the Haftorah on Tisha B'Av itself? Amar Rav. Rav says, Echa Haita Lezona. Echa, like Lamentations, is like the book of Echa. But this one, which is from Yeshayahu, the first chapter says, how is it that Jerusalem has become like a prostitute? And that's the Haftorah for Tisha B'Av itself. Mikra Mai. Okay, that's the Haftorah. What is it that, what's the Torah reading for Tisha B'Av? And interestingly, this was not mentioned in our Mishnah. I'm not sure why that is, or if they had such a Torah reading on at this time for Tisha B'Av or not. Tanya, we have a Braita that teaches Acherim Amrim. Some the others say the Imlo Tishmeuli, that the reading for Tisha B'Av is from the Tochacha and B'chukotai. What will happen to the Jewish people if they don't listen to Hashem? Rabbi Natan Bar Yosef Omer. Rabbi Natan Bar Yosef says Ad Ana Yina Atsuni Ha'am Hazeh. How long will these people vex me? This is from the section related to the spies. After the spies come back and say that they'll never be able to conquer the land of Israel, and in the context of getting the punishment of wandering 40 years in the desert, that's what Hashem says, how long will these people vex me for? The Yesh Omrim and others say, Ad matai la'eda hara'a hazot, how long will I have to suffer this wicked congregation? Which is just the section immediately out. It's the parsha immediately following Ad ana yinatsuni ha'am. So it's the same general context. So those are three opinions about what we read on Tisha B'Av. None of those are common practice today. We instead follow the opinion of Abaye. Amar Abaye, Ha'idna, nowadays, Nahug Alma, the world has a custom, Lemikre, to read from the Torah, Kitolid Banim, the section of Kitolid Banim, which is Devarim chapter 4, which deals with, it's part of what Moshe's speech to the Jewish people, that when they go into the land without him, they should follow Hashem's commandment, even though he knows that in the end they're going to sin. So it's kind of very sad for Moshe that he knows that they are not going to do everything that he wants them to do when they go into the land of Israel. So we read Ki Tolid Banim, Umaftirin, and our Haftorah is Asof Asifim, is the section of Asof Asifim from Yirmiyahu chapter 8. So we do not follow any of the previous things that are mentioned in this sugya. We follow instead Abaye's custom, which seems like the custom that we follow in general, meaning we also follow Abaye's custom related to the readings for the 8 days of Pesach, and in a number of instances throughout this sugya, we seem to follow. Either Abaye was authoritative, or he was reporting on the way the custom finally developed after things got settled down. Okay, we're at the two dots. Now it says, B'ma'amadot, when the Kohanim were serving in the temple, the home community would have special Torah readings in their synagogues, and they would read B'maaseh Bereishit. They would read the story of the creation, the first chapter of Genesis. Manah Ne'mileh, what is the source for this custom? It's a little bit of a strange use of Manah Ne'mileh because it is just a custom, but what's the source for reading this? Amar Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami said, Il male ma'amadot, were it not for the ma'amadot, the groups of Jews who were supporting the Kohanim in their temple service, lo nitkaimu shamayim va'aretz, heaven and earth would not last. Shenemar, as it says, im lo briti yomam v'layla, if it were not for my covenant day and night, chukot shamayim va'aretz lo samti, the law of heaven and earth I never would have placed. Uchtiv, so this is Chotra says that Hashem's covenant, the Brit, is critical to the existence of the heaven and the earth. Uchtiv, and it's written similarly, Vayomer Hashem Elokim, and God said, and Avraham said to God, Bama Edaki Irashena. Avraham had no children. All he had was his servant Elazar, and he said to Hashem, how do I know that I'm going to inherit this land that you promised me when I have no children? Amar Avram lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram was saying before Hashem, said the rabbis sort of interpret the verse, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Shema Chas v'Shalom Yisrael Chotim lefanecha, perhaps God forbid the Jewish people will sin before you, V'ata aseh lahem, and you will do to them, Kedor HaMabul, like the generation of the flood, you'll wipe them all out, U'chador HaFlaga, or like the generation of the dispersion, you'll spread them all over the world, and then I won't, you know, my people won't inherit my tradition, because you will have punished them for their sins. Amar lo, so Hashem said to him, Lav, it's not true. I'm not going to do it. Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Bama Eda. How will I know that you're not going to destroy my descendants for their sins? Amar Lo, he said to him, Kechal li Egla Mishulash. At the next verse here, it says, take for me a calf. And the rest of the description here in Breishit is the story of the Brit Bein HaBetarim, where Avraham, the covenant between the pieces, where Hashem explains to Avraham that his children will be enslaved in a land that does not belong to them, and then Hashem will take them out and bring them back to the land of Israel. But basically, the way the Gemara is reading it here is that by virtue of the sacrifices that he offered in the Brit Bein HaBetarim, those sacrifices would stand as a guarantee that Hashem would never destroy the Jewish people. It is a little strange here that we're talking about the destruction of the Jewish people, whereas above we were talking about the destruction of heaven and earth, unless you want to connect it and say that if the Jewish people don't exist, then Hashem doesn't have a reason for the world to exist either. Amar Lefanav, so Avraham is not done yet, though. He says to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Tinach Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam. Okay, that makes sense, or I accept it. When the Beit HaMikdash exists, they can offer sacrifices. Bizman She'ein Beit HaMikdash Kayam, but when the Beit HaMikdash is not existing, Ma Tehaleh, and what will they do? They won't be able to offer sacrifices or have Ma'amadot. So how will their sins be forgiven? Amar Lo, he said to the, Hashem says back to Avram, Kfar Tikanti Lahem Seder Karbanot. I have established for them the order of the Karbanot. Kol Zman She'Korin Bahen, as long as they read in the Torah, basically, about the Karbanot, Ma'ale Ani Alehen Ki'ilu Makrivin Lefanai Karban. I will consider it tantamount as if they offered a sacrifice before me. U'mochel Ani Al Kol Avonotichem, and then I will forgive them for all of their sins. The other odd thing about this to me is that we don't actually read then an account of the Karbanot, which is what it seems to indicate here, that you should read the Karbanot themselves and thereby be forgiven. Instead, we read during the Ma'amadot the story of the creation of the heaven and the earth, which is not about sacrifices at all. But in any case, here it seems to connect three things: the existence of the world, the existence of the Jewish people, and sacrifice/prayer before Hashem, as three things that have to all go together. We'll stop there at the two dots and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.